This is an hour, a time that I believe God's calling us to our knees. We humble ourselves before the Lord and say, God, we need you to be in control. We need to have you lead us, guide us, direct us, that we may obey. We are a people given unto the Lord. Take that one statement. Given unto the Lord. So that what? He may have his bidding. It's on him. And because of that, we can have security. Security in him. Now, security in him doesn't look like security in the world. Security in him means everything will be all right. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation. This virus that's continuing to wreak havoc on people, God is still on the throne. God is still in control. God will have his way. And it, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that. We have been talking about and understanding the baptisms that are in the Word of God. And as I had shown you before, there's seven of them. And we've gone through four of them. And today we're going to talk about baptism into his body. And this is crucial because I think we've kind of gotten away from what God intended, his plan that he intended for the earth and for his people. The Israelites did this constantly. They looked the other direction, looked to another God, looked to another way, and he's going, this, no. He has come to bring us the truth of what Jesus did so that he can reclaim the body of Christ, which is us. Now, I'm going to say something that probably is not real popular. But we've gotten away from the church, and I'm talking about the collective congregation of the church, and we have said we are the church. And what we've done is we've used we are the church as an excuse not to have a collective congregation to worship God. And so the fallacy of that situation is, well, if I am the church, I don't go to church. And that is a true statement. I don't go to church. I am the church. And if you are the church, then you are, what you're saying is, I'm going to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Because that's what the church is. You're Christians. Those who are devoted and are following Jesus. Now, it's interesting because Jesus uses the church, the collective body of Christians, to help us to grow. And without it, you can become pretty stale and stubborn and where you are located and not be given to the things of God. We are to what? Encourage one another, help one another. We are to bring together the one another's. If you want to look up a great study, look up the word one another and how many times he uses it in the New Testament. There are so many things that he has said you are to be for one another. And if you're not in a local congregation, how can you do that? You can do it from home? Well, Maybe.
But I'm telling you, God wants to do something in us. And that's why we're going to
talk about baptism into the body. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 14. Starting with verse 14. I may have written down that wrong. Maybe 2 Corinthians. Is that? Excuse me, say that again? Yes. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go ahead and start with verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is a... Yeah. I'm in the wrong chapter, so I was reading 14. I was wrong somewhere, wasn't I? Okay, starting with verse 14. I'll start with verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. I mean, doesn't that fly in the fallacy that I, as an individual, am the church?
You are the church. You're a part
of a church. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink unto one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. We are the body. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all the one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, not one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker or are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. In the baptism into his body, we have had people to come and visit us, and I truly love visitors. It's kind of a lifeblood thing with us. We become a part. You have fresh people, and that's a good thing. But if you're not planted here, I want you to go to where you are planted. But if you are planted here, I want you, whoever that is, to come and be a part. Not one that can come and say, well, I want to hide in the crowd. Well, that's hard to do in this place. not going to hide in the crowd. And I had prophesied over a girl here, and she said, I wish you'd have done that after services. Well, God may not have been speaking after the service. You know, I have to kind of get on it while it's hot. If not, I don't know. My human flesh would say, well, I forgot what I was going to say. Because it's not written down. We are the church. And collectively, we're a stronger church. We are together to lean on one another, love one another, support one another, encourage one another. It is a real thing that we as a collective body, many members, do the will of God. In verses 12 through 14, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. So, get a picture of what we have talked about as far as baptism is concerned. What does baptism mean? It means immersion. It means totally engulfed, totally enveloped into whatever you're being baptized into. If you're being baptized into repentance, it's all over you. If you're baptized into water, you need to go down into that watery grave. If you're baptized into a certain thing, he says, be baptized into the body of Christ. Get yourself in there. And that you are totally enveloped into that body. It's a real thing. Is it uncomfortable? Man, you have two people in one thing, it's uncomfortable. Why? Because they like stuff I don't like, and I like stuff that they don't like, and, you know, all of a sudden we're fighting over the color of the carpet. And that ought not be. It ought not be. Why? Because the whole goal is not my opinion or my want to, it's the Lord's. That we should agree that it is the Lord, what He wants, rules. It's the way that happens in marriage. I can't come to Sharon and say, this is the way it is. And they tell you, a lot of men do that. This is the way it is. I'm the head of the house. Jesus put me as head of the house. And you're going, you better cool your jets here. Because the reality is that woman also has a relationship with God. And that woman should be able to say what God is saying. And we should listen. Women are the thing that God is using to teach us how to be the bride of Christ. They are teaching us, men who are bullheaded, who want our way, to be the bride of Christ. And if we don't submit ourselves to God, and however He is speaking to us, we're in error. Let God be God in every situation, in every relationship, in every part of your life. The body is messy. It's just messy. We put on our Sunday best, we put on nice clothes, we make sure we don't smell, you know, we try to put ourselves out there like we're presentable. But let me tell you, this body is corrupt and is falling apart. Everybody's is. But what could happen in the body of Christ? It's messy. It gets all tangled up. It's like, oh, you know, this is awkward. Should I do this or should I do that? And someone else comes in and you're going, man, how's this work? Well, I just won't be a part then. I'll just sit in my house and be alone. That's the only way you're going to go without conflict. And even then, you begin to fight. Your soul and your spirit begin to fight one another. Your spirit is saying, you can't stay here. And your soul's going, yes, I can. And the body of Christ suffers. It suffers. Why? Because we haven't given ourselves to the baptism into the body of Christ. We are the joints and the marrow. I'm not a physician, not even a nurse, but what I think happens is that the marrow within our bones is what produces the blood. And if that produces the blood, then our joints are the one that supply everything within us. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Man, do you think the Word of God is a powerful thing? You better believe it. You better believe that the Word of God is able to bring forth faith, but it also comes to bring dividing of the soul and the spirit. Man, when someone gets a revelation or even gets a conviction in their hearts to be able to say, I used to be this way and now God wants me to be another way, what happens? It's the Word of God. It's the one that tears asunder soul and spirit. But then it also supplies of the joints and the marrow and is a discerner of thoughts and the intents of the heart. We are to be joined together. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For from the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. Do you realize what they're saying? It's saying that we as many-membered body comes to support and to take and encourage. And what should be happening from here to here? Joints and marrow. Love. Just by the contact, God is saying, you're showing love to one another. Just as we encourage one another, life should be flowing from here to there. Life, the life that I have in Christ should be flowing to her in the life in Christ. And it should be very life-giving. Our relationship should be very life-giving. Where is it when life doesn't work? Well, it's when God's not part of the mix. It's when we're doing what we want to do and how we want to do it. But you know that relationships within the body of Christ are crucial to the body functioning the way it should function. Where does it go? Where does it go bad? It goes bad when there's selfishness, when there's arrogance, when there's no relying on the Holy Spirit to bring forth the truth of God. But understand, you have the ability. How do we do the ability? By latching on to those people. Consider, what is it that you should be doing in encouraging someone, of lifting someone up, of bringing someone to a truth? How should you be doing that? Well, in Ephesians 4, 15, 16, it says, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. If we don't love one another, it's not going to be effectual. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. Where, and I just believe the church has become impotent. And I'm talking about even churches that have thousands of people in them, hundreds of people in them. Why are they impotent? Because there's not the relationship that God has defined to be working in that place. I can go to church, I can hide, I can go home. And I've satisfied my soul in saying, hey, I did my duty. But I didn't give my heart to that place. We're to be compacted in verse 14. It says, from whom the whole body fitted, joined together, and compacted. I mean, we are to be put together. And the thing that came to mind was a Lego set. You can have Legos spread all around here, but they're not together. They're not compacted. You have to take one Lego and another Lego, and you need to set it on top. And even if the Legos aren't totally squared up, you're not going to get them together. But you have to put it together in such a way that they click. And they're together. When you think about being compacted together, think about a Lego set. Think about how you should be compacted with one another. Are there divine relationships? Yes, there are. There was a time that people would look at this place and go, man, I wish we were like y'all. Y'all love one another. Y'all really do love one another. Well, we have room for growth. We really do. Let us be compacted together. Angela told me one time, you're a pastor that I've never seen before. I said, like, what's that mean? He said, you like really get in there, our lives. you really like ask questions. I said, I don't know how to do it any different. I don't know. This is not a business. I'm not the CEO, and I'm just making sure things happen. That's not it. That's not what this is about. How many shepherds go around and don't know the sheep? They don't know if they're hurt. They don't know if what's going on in their lives. If they're limping. If they got a broken leg. How many pastors, which is another word for shepherd, don't know their sheep? Transparency is huge in being compacted together. Every joint supplies by that which every joint supplies. Every joint supplies This joint should supply. This joint should supply. This joint should supply. Everyone has a unique part of themselves that God has created so that what? It may bring that variety into the church. Have you all gone to other churches and you went, wow, this is a different flavor. Why is it different? They may sing songs, they may see, you may hear preaching, there may be worship, they may hand out communion, but it has a different flavor. Why? Because of the people that are there that are bringing supply, that are bringing the supply. Oh God, that we may be conscious and we should know the supply that we bring to one another. It should supply nourishment. I believe this is so important that we understand that we each bring nourishment to the body. How is it? And this is what I think that the church has become impotent. And that is, they're not here to receive their supply. They're not here to receive the very thing that God is saying, this is what you need to get through the rest of the week or the next week. You need your supply. You need the nourishment that it takes for the health of your spiritual life. Do we need food? We do need food. Ever fasted for a long period of time? And you're just going, ooh, I just don't know. I'm busy, lightheaded. How am I going to function? You need sustenance. You need the nourishment of the Word of God and of one another. We do need one another, as written in 1 Corinthians 12. Colossians 2:19. And not holding the head, from which all the body of joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. With the increase of God, what happens? More nourishment comes. We are knit together. Colossians 2:19. Again, since knitting, I don't know how to knit, but I've seen people knit. And it's an interlocking way of putting something together and you get a blanket. But it's interlocking. It's like, I can't go on without that. There are times I've taken 2 weeks away and gone on vacation. I'm so hungry and thirsty to get back to this place because I want to see my people. And I say that not like the people belong to me, but I belong to them. I belong to the people. I know that. God has showed me that. God has, it, time and time again, we are knitted together. Oh, wow. Ezekiel 37. We have a song, The Rattling of the Bones. And it comes out of this particular scripture. I'm going to read it. Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and beheld, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. As I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, O bone, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. And then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord. I'm going to ask you this, and I want you to tell me, can these pews be filled? Yes. Then we should prophesy that very thing. Prophesy unto what God has said. Many prophetic word has come into this place and says, I see shoulder to shoulder. I see people coming together. I see, can these bones live? Yes, they can. He said, I will do it. And so what do? Man, we're about our Father's business. We're about our Father's business. And I was about to say, until that happens, and I'm going, it doesn't matter if it happens or not, I'm still about my Father's business. I'm about to do what God wants us to do. But I believe people are hungering for the Word of God. I pick on you. You're in the front row again. Alina says, I want to be baptized. I said, man, that is great. We can do that. We have the ability. And I said, so, you want your mom to do it? You want, who else, who do you want to do it? He said, maybe Natalie. I said, ooh, that's good. Because I had talked to Kaylin. Did I say it right? Kaylin? I talked to Kaylin last week. She received the Lord as her Lord and Savior. And I looked at Natalie and I said, you're the one that invited her. You're the one responsible. You need to baptize her. And Natalie was going, wait a minute now. Does that mean, what do I got to do? And I said, so I got her up here and I said, this is how you do it. Just practical things, man. You know, let her hold her nose. You hold onto her arm. You put your hand on her back. She holds you right here and you're out. Issue is, can these bones live? Is this coming together? Showing there's a rattling going on. There's a rattling going on. A rattling going on in what he says and what he says and what she says and what they say and what you guys say out there. There's a rattling of the bones going forth to prophesy this place can live. this mighty army of God can live. She stops me, Anna stops me at the post office, and we had contact at the credit union, and she said, I want to go to church. Come on. She goes, is it all right if I go to yours? I said, sure, yeah, come on in. She goes, what do I wear? I said, what you got on? Fine with us. We have the power to supply. We have the joint togetherness to supply. What? Whatever they need. I'm telling you, you have the answers. We have the answers to bring forth the truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. Consider that. When you examine yourself, you are also examining the body of Christ. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and are sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. This is talking about communion. But it's talking about, it's essential that when we come to communion, we can be legalistic and say, I took the bread, and I took the little cup, and I had communion. Did I do it unworthily, or did I do it worthily? It doesn't come to this. That's legalistic. What it does come is that we discern the body correctly. That we discern what's happening in the body. Not just yourselves, but in what? The body. The many-membered body that comes together. We must consider that. Why? Because this is communion. It's not just communion with the Lord, it's the communion with one another. That we have one another to what? Bring joint supplies to. And He's just making it real by saying, you guys are coming together. You guys aren't. What he says is, don't take that time to eat. Don't take that. Take that. Eat at the house. But take this time to consider yourself and one another. This is crucial. When we take communion, we take it. Take this. Okay. Hold on. We take it collectively. We commune with one another. Not only in this and in this, but in heart. So, I commune with Him. It's His body and His blood that brings us together. That's the communion. That's the communion. It centers around Jesus, but it also centers around the responsibility I have in Jesus for one another. I hope you got that, because I'm going, stop! God is doing some major things in us. This is His body. He says, this is my body. And He broke it. In verse 24, it says, take, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. There should be a brokenness in us. There should be a brokenness that it is not me, but I am broken of the outer crust, that bread, and it is that which I give that God has given me to give. There should be a brokenness. Breaking the outer crust. Turn to Matthew 21, 42 through 44. And Jesus saith unto him, did you ever read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation. Bring forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on the rock or on this stone shall be broken, but on whosoever it shall fall, it will grind him to pieces. Back a few years ago, I said, it is better to fall on the rock than allowing the rock to fall on you. It all happens in the body of Christ. Let us be those people who fall on the rock in the foundation of Jesus Christ being our Lord, instead of letting the rock fall on you. And it says you'll be crushed into powder. Be broken before the Lord. That's your choice. Here's a siren. Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever is going on right now in those people, that there's an emergency going on. And I pray, Father, that whatever the situation, you protect the officer or the fireman, and you protect those who are in need of help. Father, do your will and glorify yourself. In Jesus' name. We are to be edifying the body. The body should be distributed well. It should go into the place not for our own selves, not the building up of a personal ministry, not the building up of a personal gift, not the building up of a personal office. People say, well, are you the pastor at that church? Yes, because I have the gift of pastor. But what I think they mean, and it's not biblical, are you the pastor of that church? And if we ever come down to it, I'd say, no. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. And I am just but a tool that he uses to get what he wants done. Just as much as every one of you in here. God is going to use you. Why? Because you're available to him. Because you have some brokenness in you. Because you're saying, Father, here am I. Choose me. Let me be a part of the body that functions well and is effectual in the places that I go for God. There was somebody who I meet weekly. They're not very consistent, but I meet weekly. And they asked me to do something for them. They said, would you do this for me? And I said, sure, I got no problem with that. I got no problem with doing what they asked. But I said, I have a question for you. And they said, sure. I asked them, am I your pastor? And they went, I don't know. I've never thought about that. I said, well, let me tell you how that helps me. If I am your pastor, if I am the one who ministers to you life, then I want to be able to do it the way God has intended it to happen. And right now, you come for counseling, but it's confined to that area. I'm going, I think God wants more from you. He wants more than just talking about this one thing. Because you're a whole person. You're not this one thing. We have to recognize who God is and what he's doing in his body. It is about him. It is about what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. This definition of his church is here. It's not my idea of it. It's not what somebody else has done. It is right here. This is the definition. And God forbid that I follow another man's example. Let me follow Jesus's. And sometimes that's not real popular. You follow Jesus's and understand that it's not always the popular thing to say, but it is the right thing to say. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. You do that, and you won't vary from the goodness of God. What other people may... Hey, I used to be a man pleaser. You know, like, I want everybody to like me. Please like me. What can I do to make you like me? And I went, and God says, I'll have no other God before me. I didn't know I was doing that. Yeah, I'm sorry, God. I'll not do that anymore. But here is the word. And baptism into the body is your place for you and God to decide what that is. Because he appoints as he pleases. And I believe that it happens. I believe that's what it is. I'll probably have a conversation with you guys just to where you guys at. And I appreciate you guys coming. It's an encouragement to the body of Christ, this body of Christ. I want to say thank you. But I really want to know your hearts. And in light of what we're talking about here, as you can see, I don't mind calling people out. But Close your eyes. And I want you to pray. Father, appoint us the place where you would like us to flourish. Give us the fruitful soil that, Father, we may expand our lives unto serving you in that place. Father, let us be baptized into the body of Christ as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I hope you prayed that. I appreciate the attention you gave to communion. It's something that changed in my heart a lot of years ago, that consideration, that acknowledging the body of Christ in every way you can. When I take communion personally, I take the bread and I say out loud, I acknowledge the body that you was broken and you died in, you know, the one you walked the earth in, and I acknowledge the body you live in today, and I consider those that I'm connected with. It's very good, Arthur. Thank you for pointing that out and concentrating on that for a while. It's an important thing. A long time ago, you know, we came to a point in this place when we used to do corporate communion every service, three times a week. You know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We did communion when we met and passed it out and did it corporately, and it was very ritualistic. And then we got to the point that we were actually realized we were interrupting spiritual communion with God in the middle of worship to say, "All right, let's do this." So we kind of tossed it, and it's called tossing the baby out with the bathwater is what we did. And so I just want to encourage you to consider making that part of your time here. It's always available up here, always, you know, before service and for a little while right after and during worship whenever. We'd appreciate you not coming up in the middle of the preaching. been done. But anyway, consider communion and taking your time and doing it in an appropriate way, in a worthy way. That's a really important stuff. But good word this morning about the body. You know, Arthur used to deal with people pleasing, you know, and I always just believed people liked me. It, you know, it didn't matter what I, you know, everybody likes me. Until at some point, a number of years ago, I figured out that's not true. Then I just had to figure out how to be okay with that. You know, it's like, but why not? You know, I'm not trying to do things to be liked, but surely you like me. No, not necessarily, but okay. I'm still going to be who I am. And so anyway, we all have our struggles. Continue in prayer for Sergio, Jeanette's brother. We didn't mention Jonathan. Was tested positive, and Yoli, therefore, didn't get to have her surgery last week, her eye surgery. Haven't heard anything about if she's been positive or not, or got sick. But anyway, there's just so many people. Sharon's dealing with a situation that may cause even greater chaos in her life and her work. So pray that all is set in order and that God is glorified in all of it. I'm thankful that Bruce is better up in Oklahoma. So just continue to pray about this pandemic and the craziness that it's caused in the earth. Anything else before we go? It was very good to have you with us today. And it's also good for all the rest of you to be here. So, but I'll just say it's good to assemble with you. And y'all be blessed this week.